One of the blessings of the streaming age is that documentary films are finding greater support and widespread access, and this past week saw the theatrical release of two films that tell engaging stories with archival video footage, both available now on streaming services. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. The new concert documentary Summer of Soul, or How the Revolution Was Not Televised, and Val, the autobiographical study of the life and career of actor Val Kilmer, were released this past week. Joining me to discuss both films, I'm happy to have frequent on-film contributor Kyle Alvarado back on the program. Good morning, Kyle.
Morning, Chuck.
Thanks again for guest hosting last week's show, but kick us off with Summer of Soul, a great concert film, I think, that at least for me feels like an instant classic.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So when just looking at the content of Summer of Soul, which is a look at the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival, which was running basically parallel to Woodstock around the same time. And unfortunately, Woodstock got all the sucked up all the oxygen in sort of the pop cultural and historical landscape. And this cultural festival was documented. It had about 40 hours of video footage, and that footage sat unused in a basement for about 50 years. So along comes Amir Thompson, commonly known as Questlove by his stage name, a renowned author and DJ and musician in his own right, decides to take a crack at this footage, and he gives the concert and the cultural context around it a lot of great intimacy, and there's a nice way that he sort of contextualizes it in the time in which it was set, and also draws a lot of parallels to today's cultural sort of the same struggles that the performers and the musicians and all of the people associated with the festival were engaging with at the time are still sort of things that they're fighting for now. Now, having said all of that stuff, there are so many wonderful performances scattered throughout the film. The restoration of the archival footage is quite gorgeous. There was performances by Stevie Wonder and Nina Simone that I personally found the most gratifying to watch in the film. Overall, I thought it was a very enjoyable film. What'd you think, Chuck?
It's more than enjoyable. It's illuminating. It's Questlove. I hope he makes more documentaries. That's all I can say, because mm-hmm. he and his editor have done a marvelous job with these 40 hours of footage. And as you say, really set the context, too. I thought I was going in to watch a concert film, which would have been engaging enough because the performances are so great. But I think the beauty of this film is that he really grabs upon the kaleidoscope of movements and shifts that were taking place in 1969. It goes into music and fashion and culture and political awareness and black pride and black rebellion and black power. It's so celebratory through the music, but also illuminating. It takes us back to that period, a fulcrum point in both civil rights and black pride movements that really saw their expression in this. And just every shot of the crowd and even the performers, just the joy and elation on the faces of them, it's remarkably uplifting too. I don't know about you, but the editing in this is so sublime. And Questlove and his editor have done such a marvelous job of creating. It's almost, the music is like a river that just takes you and you flow through those times and those sounds of 69 in Harlem. It's really quite an impressive accomplishment, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Frankly, I would have been surprised if you know, given the content that they're covering, that they couldn't have, you know what I mean? This is almost something that they couldn't have messed up, because you have such great, great music, you have engaging interviews. And what I love about the contemporary interviews that Questlove has shot is mm-hmm. that he zooms in very tight on the face, and you can clearly see that there's a monitor that yes. these people are watching the archival footage on. You see the light bouncing off of their face, and when he sort of is engaging in those memories is where an unusual, I was surprised at the emotional impact of watching these attendees engage with their memories.
It gave me goosebumps at times. As you yeah. say, you can see their faces are lit up by some images that are off screen, and they're clearly being shown some of the footage that we're watching also in the film. And you see it wash over their face, just being taken back. I will say, as celebratory and uplifting as the film is, and illuminating, because we do learn a lot about the context of the times, which were turbulent, the lasting effect of it there is tinged with a little bit of depression in that this was 52 years ago, and so many of the issues that were swirling around at the times we are still grappling with today. And that's part of the power of this film too, I think.
I agree. Yeah, there was a line early on where somebody had mentioned that they had essentially gotten used to summers being violent for them, given mm-hmm. the previous, you know, five summers. And you know, when you think of the summer that we had in 2020, it's the parallels aren't hard to ignore. And it, I don't want to say it takes me out of the film, but it's definitely a sobering slap every now and again.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we both highly recommend this. This film, which is playing for free if you have Hulu, so and was just in theaters. So the next film, Val, is really the life, art, and unique perspective of actor Val Kilmer, which is the subject, context, and really the broad canvas of the new film, just called Val, in which Kilmer collaborated with co-directors Ting Poo and Leo Scott. The trio excavate four decades of Kilmer's home videos to profoundly moving effect. Val begins with Kilmer on a floor hunched over a scrapbook, cutting and collaging images. The film follows in similar fashion as it explores the details of a life, cutting and pasting moving images from a creative past with present-day reflections. We see snippets from Kilmer's early and very creative childhood, family drama, his entrance to Juilliard, the quick leap from stage to screen, then movie stardom in the 80s and 90s to waning commercial appeal, infirmity, and rebirth. It's the life cycle of an American artist in this film. All the footage of the film is shot by Kilmer, which is unusual, and most of it is early video. Part fiction and part fact, truth and illusion fused into one. I loved this film.
I can tell.
As you might
I did too. I enjoyed it too. Val Kilmer was one of those actors growing up that I just, there was a magnetism too that I couldn't quite understand. So it's nice to sort of watch this film, watch it from his side of it. And I don't want to say that the movie, you know, inspired me to run back and check his entire catalog, but it did reframe a lot of his roles. And in particular for me, when it got to sort of the waning side of his career, when he was known as someone who was difficult to work with, I was very interested to hear his side of it and how he was reacting to it. And it just sounds like it was an artist against the industry machine and ultimately sort of got crushed by it. Other than that, I was completely sort of the editing of the film, because there's about 800 hours of footage yes. that they were all working with. There could have been 10 different cuts with 10 different perspectives on this guy's life. And I'm very pleased with the end result of the film, because you walk away with a greater sense of who he was as a person. And it sort of shades in, you know, the other side of it, sort of the short end of the stick that he got with his reputation and stuff towards that end of his career.
And he doesn't seem to have an axe to grind here. He's not trying to burnish a previous reputation. As I said, there's infirmity. A lot of people know he had throat cancer, which deprived him of his ability to speak, which mm-hmm. as an actor, you know, is extraordinary. But you see post-surgery, too, the last few years of his life that are depicted in the film. To me, they convinced me that this is the life of an artist, because he never stopped being creative. And this current film, which I imagine he had quite a bit to do, even though there's co-directors on it, quite a bit of input that directly from Val Kilmer, it shows from childhood to today, he never stopped creating. And so without really making the point, he does reframe his 90s bad boy persona back into that of an artist sort of lost in this Hollywood jungle. He was too pretty. His fame came too fast, and he was trapped by what Hollywood wanted him to do, a la Batman and mm-hmm. films like that, and where his creativity was trying to take him but couldn't go because the industry wanted him to be someone he wasn't. So it's another beautiful film, and I talked about the flow of Summer of Soul previously, and this film also has a beautiful flow to it. You just kind of drift along in and out of these images that he shot. I don't know about you, but you know, part of the brilliance to me of Val, the approach, is that they are not trying to just give us a bunch of facts from a life to tell us who he is. I came away feeling about who he was, but still not really knowing, because he makes the point over and over that the illusion of what he creates as an actor and the fact that he describes himself from childhood on with a camera in his hand, he's fully aware that he's always part of some larger fiction. And that's also part of life, and he embraces that. And it's a really fascinating perspective.
Yeah, and I think the sort of meta genius of the film that I enjoy the most is that he shot most of this footage himself.
Right.
And as time progresses and technology evolves, you grow from something that clearly feels like home shot movies to where the line gets sort of blurred between what the documentary filmmakers shoot and what he shot himself. And there's just a couple of moments where it's jarring in a way. There was a scene right around when his personal life was starting to collapse, and it's just this long take of him cutting his hair behind the fireplace. And it took me a second to
realize.
With a giant knife. Doing a good job of cutting his hair too. I was surprised as he was doing it. But he's basically performing to the camera, and it feels like a documentary interview. But then, you stay in this shot long enough to realize that no, this is something he privately shot. And it's just interesting to get these sort of slices of him as a person at the time that it was happening.
I'm glad you brought that up. The way the varying footage weaves together towards the end there, and you can't detect the documentary from the reality that he was describing, which is his point, that at least in an actor's life, truth and fiction are often merged.
Yeah. And I give him credit too. I think you would expect actors, when they come across the opportunity to make documentaries about themselves, that they do try and burnish their reputation.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of his approach here is that he's taking responsibility for a lot of things that he's done getting him into that situation.
Yes.
There was the issue. I did not realize that his father had essentially sold him out and put him in a terrible legal and financial situation. And he sort of walks you through why he made his choices and how that later on impacted his career. And you can sort of draw direct lines through everything. But the one thing about it is that he's never bitter about it.
Right, right. It's a great documentary, and it's illuminating who Val Kilmer will be, and it is streaming begins August 6th on Amazon. It may still be in theaters. We saw it in theaters, but it is going to Amazon next week. Certainly a good week for documentaries, certainly one of the ways in which the streaming age has benefited cinephiles. So I want to thank you for talking about both Summer of Soul and Val with me today.
Thanks for having me.
I've been discussing the new documentary Summer of Soul on Hulu and Val, coming next week to Amazon, with Frequent on Film contributor Kyle Alvarado. Thanks to the KTP staff for editing this program. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.